I want to read one verse found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. I may read a few more verses a little later. But in 1 Corinthians, I believe it was Jason talking about expensive necklace. And this woman, her husband was rich. He was in a business trip for about 3 days. He called her his wife every night. And he told her, "I'm coming home tomorrow." And she said, "Well, let me tell you what I dreamt. I dreamt you bought me a real expensive necklace." She said, "What do you think that means?" He said, "You'll find out when I get home." He walked through the door with a package, and she was so excited. She opened the package, and it was a book that said, "The Meaning of Dreams." First Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." You can be seated. A lot of times in the old Bible, it gives out shadows and types and all different kinds of meanings that you really don't know what exactly you're talking about, because the New Bible, when actually the New Bible is pretty old, but the New Bible is concealed in the Old Bible, and the Old Bible is revealed in the New Bible. So when you don't quite understand what's going on in the Old Bible, you can find a type or a shadow of the meaning in the New Testament. And God always had a plan, and he would give out what his purpose and his plan was in some type. And the language in the Old Bible was different than what it is in the New Testament, because you had it talked about shadows and it talked about types. But in the New Testament, you got the substance, and there can be no shadow unless there's a substance. And so this verse here says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So in order to know what a Passover was, you got to go to Exodus chapter number 11 and chapter number 12 and find out what's going on. God made a promise to Abraham. He said, Your seed's going to be in bondage for about 430 years. And after that, I'm going to deliver them. And I'm going to save them from that bondage. And that promise was made to Abraham 430 years before it happened. But when the time came, God showed the plan. He revealed it to Moses. In chapter 11 and 12 of Exodus, he said, "Moses, you tell the children of Israel." He had already done miracle after miracle to try to get the children of Israel released from Pharaoh. Pharaoh would say, "Okay, I'll let them go," and then he'd change his mind. Finally, God was getting ready to do a work, and he said, "I'm going to show the gods of Egypt who I am." He said, "I'm going to show them that I put a difference between Israel and Egypt." He said, "Moses, here's what you tell the children of Israel." He said, "You take them out a lamb on the 10th day and you keep it up. On the 14th day, you kill that lamb." He said, "I want one lamb for every household. If it's too big for one lamb, for one household, share it with a neighbor." You see, God's in the business of sharing. And he said, "I don't want you to cook the lamb. I want it roasted with fire." And he told them exactly how to prepare it. But he said, "You keep the lamb up. It's going to be without spot and without blemish." He said, "You make sure when you get that lamb that you check it out for 3 days. You check it out. It's not going to have spot. It's not going to have blemish." He said, "Then I want you to kill the lamb. And I want you to take the blood in a basin and get the hyssop. Hyssop is a type of faith that grows about everywhere. and take the hyssop and dip it in the blood, apply it upon the doorpost and upon the lintel of the door. And he said, because at midnight, the death angel is coming through and said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. And he said, when you see this, I don't want you to forget it. I want you to celebrate this all the days of your life. After I deliver you, don't you forget what I done in Egypt. Don't you forget how I delivered you. You celebrate that. He said, you let the blood be a token of how I got you out of Egypt. And we got a minister going through the world today that's written over 150 books. And he said that we're not saved by the blood, but we're saved by the death of Jesus. I heard him interview him. And they asked him, would you like to change your mind on what you preached about that? And he refused to change his mind. He had the audacity to say that the blood of Jesus was no different than any other of his body fluids that were saved by his death. But let me tell you what God showed Moses in Exodus. He said, you kill the lamb and take the blood. He didn't say, when I see a dead lamb, I'll pass over. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. God's not looking for deadness. He's looking for blood. When you get saved, you're going to get saved according to the Bible, or you're not saved. God don't change the word for the Gentiles or the Jews. The same word is to all. He gave a plan of deliverance, and thank God that plan is just as powerful today as it was in the days of Egypt. He said this blood will be a token. We don't need to forget about the blood. Sure, blood don't look too good, but I'm telling you right now, there was power in the blood of Jesus. He said, when you eat that lamb, you keep your shoes on because you're getting ready to go somewhere. Don't go outside the house when the death angel comes. Stay inside. And he said, have your loins girded. Get ready to travel. Let me tell this church something. This church is getting ready to travel. I started to say, well, welcome to the first sardine-packed church of the Apostolic Church of Crab Orchard. It's so good to see every seat and some of the seats filled and everything. But this is just a start. This is just a beginning. God's getting ready to do something in this last day. Hallelujah. The devil knows his time is short. God's getting ready to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. That means you. That means me. Thank God for the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Ghost in our meeting. We need to let people know there's something greater than just what you possess. There's something greater than your natural life. There's something greater. God said, I'll be with you always. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Thank God. Thank God for Jesus. If I had to title this message today, I would title it Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, make sure it ain't on no spot or blemish. Keep it up for about 4 days. And this guy came by and wrote a song. One dark night in Egypt, a fearful time had come. For one little Hebrew boy who was his father's firstborn son. He said, when the death angel comes, he's going to smite every firstborn of the beast and of every man. Pharaoh's firstborn. Anybody, if you know a firstborn, somebody in your family, they would be dead by the morning time if they didn't have the blood applied to the door. He said, I'm not coming in the house. I'm looking on the doorpost and the lintels. If you would draw a line straight down from the top of the blood and then one from each blood on the door, it would represent a cross. Why? Because that is where Jesus, our Passover, shed his precious blood that you and I might be delivered from the powers of Satan. Hallelujah. And so he said, when the angel of death passing low, it was hard to fall asleep, but one little lamb stood in his mind as he laid there counting sheep. He wondered why the young lamb had to die, why its blood was on the door, though the wind and rain it still remained. But he wanted to be sure. So he called out to his father, earthly father, with a trembling voice so scared, crying, "Father, will you please look and see if the blood is still there?" He said, "Son, don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The wind may blow, the rain may fall, but it won't just wash away. The blood will stand the raging storm. It's safe, secure. You can rest assured the blood is there to stay." Hallelujah. We should never, never quit preaching about the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, I'll try to preach these few real fast. Y'all listen real fast. And we'll get out of here real slow. But in 2 Peter, 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, it said, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious." And precious. "Ye also, as lively stones." We are lively stones. Not tombstones. Lively stones. That's why we need the Spirit of God moving so much in our midst. Because it gives life. And nobody wants to be in a dead church service. Nobody that's got life. If I wanted peace and quiet, I'd go to a graveyard. Dead people don't make no noise. And you can get peace and quiet in there. Dead people won't hurt you. But thank God we are lively stones. Because we know what God done for us. And are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." No wonder we got so many different religions today. They believe on everything but Jesus. Jesus will take all of the confoundness out of your life. Believe on him. And he said, "Unto you therefore, which believe," that should be everybody in here. "Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Hallelujah. Glory to God. That word precious was mentioned three times that I just read of the few scriptures. The word precious, let me tell you what it means. It's got a lot of, it means something valuable, something costly, something expensive, something high priced, something dear, beyond price, something rare. It is something that we should never take lightly. And when it talks about Jesus being precious, and to you who believe, to you he is precious, I'm going to tell you, he's been precious to me. Almost 54 years I've been serving him, and I didn't understand what he was doing in my life, But let me tell you, minister, something. There'll be times that God uses you and you will not even know that God is using you. But you'll look back over the past and find out what God was doing through your life that you didn't know nothing about. Why? Because you submitted yourself unto God and you did what God wanted you to do. And God will show you one day there's going to be things happen that you don't understand. But stick with Jesus. Don't preach nothing else except what the Word of God says. Is. And you'll find out soon. All right. First Peter, same. Let me just turn back one page. Look at this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let's go back to 12. What did he tell Moses? He said, get him a lamb. You're going to have no spot, no blemish. You're going to check it out. I wondered why he wanted them to take that lamb into their house for 3 days and examine it. I wondered, why couldn't he have done it the first day? He wanted them to have a relationship with that lamb. He wanted them to get to know that lamb. They checked that lamb out everywhere and could find no fault in it. And they got close to that lamb. And when they had to kill it, it was not going to be an easy job. You're not supposed to name a hog that you're going to eat. Farmers tell you that. But God wanted them to be close to that lamb because when they shed the blood, the Bible said the life of the flesh is in the blood. And when you lose your blood, you lose your life. Thank God. He wanted them to know that lamb is without spot. It's without blemish. It is perfect. It's going to be my sacrifice. The blood is going to save me from the death angel. I want to tell you about Jesus. His blood is precious. Hallelujah. I mean, it's valuable. And anybody that wants to belittle the blood of Jesus, there's something wrong with them. I could understand if he had an earthly father like we did, but his blood was pure. Everybody that had been born from Adam had their blood tainted by Adam, and they were sinful. You're born in sin and shaping in iniquity. But Jesus' blood didn't come from man. The Bible tells us in Acts 19 that God purchased the church with his own blood. Jesus was Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. So when Jesus shed his blood, it was God shedding his blood for mankind. And he was without blemish and he was spotless. That makes him precious to me. And I believe on him. And to you who believe, he's precious. I wasn't purchased with silver and gold and corruptible things. He said, but without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Jesus is so precious to me. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son. It didn't say the death of Jesus. It said the blood of Jesus. I'd like to talk to John MacArthur one-on-one. I'd like to sit him down, look him eyeball to eyeball, and say, look, Mr. Smarty Pants, you need a revelation from God. You can't go out of the Word of God and get you a revelation. If your revelation is not backed up by God's Word, it ain't worth nothing anyway. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The Bible said if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. I don't care how many times you got to confess it, but keep on confessing, because the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanse us from all sin. All sin. All sin. I don't care what you've done. God can cleanse you with His blood. Not only is He precious because His blood was precious, but His blood justifies us. Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we got good. People say, man, I'm sick, but I'm going to wait till I get better, and then I'm going to the doctor. If you get better, you don't need no doctor. Jesus come forth preaching, them that are whole don't need a physician. He said, what are you going down there preaching to them people that's got leprosy for? Them that are whole don't need a doctor. He said, they're not whole. They need me. He said, I didn't come in the world to call the righteous to repentance. I come in to save the lost. Hallelujah. And you got lost kids and lost loved ones, and we need to start seeking God. God, come and do your job on the ones that's lost. I'm already saved. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to give you honor. But I got some kids that need saved, and I'm praying for them. God, you're the great physician. Go to the one that's sick and raise them up. Hallelujah. By your Spirit. Hallelujah. And He can do it. The precious blood of Jesus justifies it. It said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then it says, Jason, much more. Much more. When it says much more, that means a whole lot greater than what I just said. How can you get any greater than it said, while I was in my sin, Christ died for me? How can you get any greater than that when somebody died for you? Then he said, much more. Then being now justified by His blood. Not His death. His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. The wrath of God is coming upon America. It's coming upon the whole world. The wrath of God is the great tribulation. And it's coming. And there's nothing nobody can do. I don't care who's president. I don't care who's senator. I don't care who's who. The wrath of God is coming upon this world, just like it did on Sodom and Gomorrah, just like it did in the days of Noah. Hallelujah. And it's coming. But thank God, it said we shall be saved from wrath through Him. If you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you was added to the body of Christ. And the Bible said that we are members of His body and of His bone and of His flesh. Hallelujah. He's not going to go through tribulation again. He already went through it on the cross of Calvary. He's done paid for it. And I'll say something about that just a little bit later. Justified, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Justified, just like if I'd never sinned. Not only is His blood precious because of that, but listen, the Bible said, 1 Peter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like, anybody know what the next word is? Like precious faith. Now, your blood saves you, and your faith is what keeps you saved. Never, never lose faith in the blood of Jesus. It secures us. Like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Blood purchased it, and faith secures it. The blood has to be applied to the heart. Egypt, the blood had to be put on the doorpost. It's faith, not feeling. If you can't go by feeling. If He says the blood what cleanses us from all sin, I don't care how you feel, it still said His blood cleanses us from all sin. We love feeling, what we do. But sometimes feeling will deceive you. Listen to this. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Though all my soul shall feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater in my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though the earth shall pass away, his word abides forever. Hallelujah. There's going to be days that you're not going to feel like you're saved. There's going to be days that you don't feel like nothing. You just feel like, oh, what's the use? Don't ever, ever lose your faith in God's word. Don't care how bad you feel. I don't care how sick you get. Don't care what disease is upon your body. Don't care how many heart attacks you have. If you've been saved, you've been cleansed by the blood, you got your faith in Jesus Christ, you're just waiting for a better place. Amen. Don't ever lose your faith. He is precious because his precious promises. 2 Peter verse 1 and 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises. Wow. We don't think the promises of God are precious. Oh boy, they are. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. By his promises I am assured of my salvation. Titus 1 and verse 2, the word says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Thank you, Jesus, for his precious promises. These kids sometimes, when they're young, they could teach you some things about God. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hallelujah. You know what he promised? He promised to help in a time of temptation. He said he'd make a way through every temptation. Hallelujah. I believe his word. I believe his promises. I believe his promises are precious to his saint. He promised us a crown of life. You know what? The Apostle Paul was in prison, and he was writing letters, and they was going to take his head the next day. They always told him the day before so they could worry about it. And he knew he was going to lose his head. Knew what he began to write about. Henceforth, he said, my time of departure is at hand. And he said, I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. You know what a good fight is? That's one you win. If you've lost a fight, you didn't fight a good fight. And I'm telling you right now, we're on the winning side. Amen. I done read the back of the book. When I was in school, I used to love to read. And I'd go to the library and check out a book and take it home. And I'd be up way early in the morning reading. And I'd get me a book. And boy, I was getting sleepy and knew I had to go to bed. And all of a sudden, I'd be reading about where half-blind man grabbed this young guy's girlfriend, tied her to the railroad track. And the train's coming. And it looks like he's going to lose her in spite of everything. Man, I got to go to sleep. I got to get up early in the morning. I got to go to school. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what I do? I fold that page down, turn over to the back. Hey, I checked it out. I can if I want to. And I read where all of a sudden that guy got loose and he comes and rescued his sweetheart. And he ties the old half-blind guy to the railroad track. And so I go to sleep because I know everything's going to be all right. Next night I come in, open up that book, and there I am. She's tied to a railroad track. And that old guy there, he's getting ready to kill her. Here comes the train. And I said, old girl, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't be worried. And I looked at that black guy, I said, old guy, if you knew what I knew, you'd get out of there. You know why? Because I read the back of the book and I knew what the story is. I've read the back of the Bible, and we as saints of God are overcomers. We are overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. He said, I looked, and there was no one worthy to open the book, neither in heaven nor in earth. But there was one that come forth from the throne, and he's like a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And he said, glory and honor and praise, because thou art worthy to open the book of life. I'm on the winning side. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. You know what? Let me tell you about what the Bible says. Oh, he also promised to forgive my sins and to come again. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, the Bible says we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. Paul had the revelation to the Gentiles. And he was talking about husband and wife. And listen what he says in verse 31 of Ephesians chapter 5. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Please, please listen and pay attention. The Apostle Paul said, we are members of his body, of his bone, and of his flesh. And he said, I'm speaking a mystery. A man, and for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and go into his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. I am the product of Roy and Eva Tucker. Eva was my mother. Roy was my dad. Them two, through me, became one. I am one of them. There's not a surgeon skilled enough in the whole world that could come in and separate Roy from Eva in my body. We are two intertwined cells mixed together. Some people can see Eva in me, and some people can see Roy in me. So he said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. When we become a member of the body of Christ, we become one with him. And there's nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He said, angels can't do it. Death can't do it. Nothing can separate us from Christ Jesus. Why? Because God became one with man. He come down not to take over, but he come down to be with us. Hallelujah. When he took up his abode in me, he said, I will stay there forever and ever and ever, and I will never leave you. Nothing can separate us. We need confidence in what God's word says when the devil's lying to us. And say, you ain't got nothing. That wasn't you that's speaking in tongues. That was just something that come in your mind. The devil lies and he tells you all kinds of things. We need to know what the word of God says. Hallelujah. One. He's one with us. So when we get saved, it's by the blood. I hope that I made that pretty clear. Not just blood, but precious blood. And things are going to start happening soon. The end time is upon us. I may still get to live when God comes back. I didn't think I was going to it the first of the year, but God's keeping me alive for something. And while I'm here upon this earth, I begin to witness to people. My kids they took pictures of everything. They documented everything when I was going through my illness and showed pictures of my feet and how bad they was. And there were some neighbors that knew that I left Florida last year, and they didn't know what was wrong because I didn't know what was wrong. I just told them I'm having some problems. I'm going to leave. So we went to see them, and Tracy went to see them. And I showed them pictures of what I was going through with. I thought I was going to lose my leg. I lost part of a foot. I thought I was going to die. I did die twice. And so I showed that woman. And you know what she started calling me? She said, I run across her one day, and she said, "Stop, stop. I'm talking to my daughter in Arizona." She said, "Honey," she said, I want you to meet somebody over the phone here. His name's Eddie, and he's nothing but a walking miracle." Hallelujah. God, he's going to be a witness. If it's anywhere I go, I want God to be a witness. Hallelujah. I may die tomorrow, but if I die tomorrow, it's because Jesus was through with me. Hallelujah. I can't die until he said it's time to go. Like the Apostle Paul said, "My departure is at hand." You know what he was saying? "Henceforth is laid up a crown of righteousness for me." He was getting ready to lose his head, but he said, "I'm going to wear a crown of righteousness." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how precious Jesus is to me.